Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I am fantastic and glad I don't have to learn anything anymore.
I mean, we learn every day, Matt. I mean, just because you're not in school doesn't mean your education stops.
Oh, no. I specifically had a lobotomy so that my education would completely stop, so I wouldn't have to learn anymore, because learning is so stressful.
Matt, you are, of all the people I know, you're the one person I think who never stops learning, so that's not true.
I don't think that's true.
You are constantly reading things to the detriment of yourself and others.
Well, that's probably true.
We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/thesimpsonshow. For only $2 a month, you gain access to all of our bonus content, monthly bonus episodes. We're doing, over the summer, doing some weekly reviews of Old King of the Hill while Simpsons are on their break. I write weekly articles about The Simpsons, all do bad drawings, all kinds of stuff. Check it out. If you want to help us out, you can go to iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play Music, any of those places. Give us a 5-star review, rate, subscribe. It really helps us out. If you don't know what to say, simply say this. It is a great Simpsons podcast for when you're hankering for a spankering.
That is very, very accurate. We provide all the spankerings you need, only audibly, of course.
Yes. This week's episode, The PTA Disbands, even though it doesn't. It originally aired April 16th, 1995, written by Jennifer Crittenden, directed by Swinton O. Scott III. Original broadcast, it finished 69th in the ratings. Nice. Nielsen rating of 7.1. Matt, get ready for this, all right? You sitting down?
Yep.
Was the 8th highest rated show on Fox that week.
Oh, dear God, my heart.
That's the lowest it's ever been.
I'm sure it's going to go further down.
I don't know. We'll see. The chalkboard gag. I do not have the power of attorney over first graders.
That's true. They can't even sign their names yet. They don't even know cursive.
I know. Damn. Hell. The couch gag is the family is in an M.C. Escher painting.
Creative. It was good at the time.
Yeah. It's cool. The episode begins with the kids on the school bus. The bus is it has been in better shape.
It would have to have been unless they assembled it from scrap.
Yeah, it's really bad. The children Bart and Milhouse have to escape from a seat because there's a hole in the floor that just widens and the seat flies out of the bus.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when it rusts and destroys itself.
Skinner and Krabappel have the first of multiple arguments over funding.
Seymour, the children are playing in the hall again. Shouldn't you get that fixed?
Edna, you know they just cut the school's budget. Besides, if I had the money, I'd fix the exhaust leak in the back. Frankly, I think it's causing some of our low test scores. All right, the battlefield is just a half mile ahead. Begin braking procedure.
The braking procedure is children holding their jackets outside.
That's
of
true, because brakes are extremely expensive.
I don't know how much school bus brakes cost, Matt. So
I figured they'd Fred Flintstone it and just stick their feet down onto the ground.
Well, there's only one hole. They'd have to have holes in every single seat.
I'm sure they could manage that. There probably are holes. They're just not big enough yet.
Yeah, that's the important part. What is, it's just common sense. What is that, Matt?
When the Springfield.
Oh, right. The cannon, right.
The cannon.
Yes. We get a little bit of this, I guess an educator at Fort Springfield, a tour guide, is talking about one of their cannons that is pointed directly at the base of a watchtower that has a nice, I guess, a reenactor in it, an actor Civil War. Appropriate. I don't even Civil War, just a fort. He's up in there. So this entire gag is just leading us to believe that the cannon's going to go off with just the slightest nudge.
Those cannons were very sensitive, Robbie, and the tiniest touch would send them off.
But the bus,
of course,
the bus hits it and it doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't go off. That is
because they don't keep it loaded. It's just common sense.
Skinner is going to take the kids into Fort Springfield, but apparently now they charge $5 because it was purchased by Disney, which is Dizne. Have we seen this before? I know we see it again.
I don't recall seeing this before this episode.
I don't know. I feel like it has to appear somewhere, but I can't remember. Skinner's, he can't believe that any school could afford this kind of money, $5 per student. And at that point, like, this luxury school bus pulls up, and Principal Valiant just has wads of cash to pay, and even extra.
Well, of course.
Even extra, like, a tip for the just the teller lady.
That's what happens when you work at a school in a rich people neighborhood.
And you swept the Princey Awards?
Yes, which are totally a thing.
Well, like, we've seen Principal Magazine. Like, I'm there seems to be, like, this whole, like, principal, like, world that we don't see.
That's true. It's a very niche market. Apparently, there's only like 4 people that subscribe to Principal Magazine in all of Springfield, and one of them is a psychologist.
We get a reenactment of, I guess, the Springfield Civil War battle.
On May 21, 1864, the men of the 9th Bearded Infantry were sunning and fluffing their beards in the sun. Suddenly, enemy troops crested that hill over there.
Fort Springfield, we surrender unconditionally!
We're sick! We need leeches and hacksaws to saw off our gangrenous limbs!
But the Springfield Brigade was too brave to accept the surrender.
Come on, boys! Those white flags are no match for our muskets!
Charge!
And the Springfielders heroically slaughtered their enemies as they prayed for mercy.
That seems appropriate for Springfield.
It does. It's their kind of thing. As we will see during a later battle, we are actually missing one of the other forces that were involved in the Battle of Fort Springfield, the East.
Of course. I was going to say, like, this tells us that Springfield is part of the North, but this fort is not historically accurate, necessarily.
What?
I know, it's crazy. We cut to the Springfield children, who are one at a time looking at this reenactment from a far distance, perched on top of, I think, Miss Krabappel's shoulders, until one of the Civil War guys sees them, and they are chased away, having to jump in a moving school bus, and poor Uter is left behind to be beaten.
Left below.
He's left to be beaten with clubs.
Indeed.
Fake guns.
Well, you're not allowed to learn for free, Robbie.
I guess not. We cut to the school, I guess, on the next day. We get a little insight into Lisa and Bart's notes from Marge, which is, they get, I guess, Marge accidentally switched their notes for the day. And Lisa gets, "I love you very much," while Bart gets, "For the love of God, please be good." Pretty good. We get another Skinner and Krabappel argument.
"You have to start putting money back into the school. You cut back on everything. Salaries, supplies, the food. I don't care what you say, I can taste the newspaper."
"Posh. Shredded newspapers add much needed roughage and essential inks. Besides, you didn't notice the old gym mats."
"There's very little meat in these gym mats."
"Our demands are very reasonable. By ignoring them, you're selling out these children's futures."
"Oh, come on, Edna. We both know these children have no future." "Prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong."
Those poor children.
Indeed. No one believes them at all.
We get Bart drinking milk, which I... It's more of a sight gag than anything, but it is great. It has vitamin R, Matt.
Indeed, it's the most important vitamin.
What does vitamin R do in your body?
It destroys your brain, obviously.
Dear
Lord. It's actually lead paint. It's really just... Malk is really just white lead-based paint.
What?
Yeah, of course. What else would Malk be?
I believe in the real world there is a brand of almond milk that is called Malk.
Yep, that's also lead-based paint.
I haven't drank any, so I think that's okay. All right, we apologize. I apologize for Matt's comments to the creators and makers of Malk.
That's true. We would actually really like to try it because it sounds very interesting.
It's in Texas. We see the school's supplies, which are all banned books, which include Tech War by William Shatner.
Why is that banned exactly? I've wondered for so very long.
I mean... I've read Tech War back when I was a teenager. It's like a cyberpunk book. I mean, it's kind of, but it's not. I don't know. I think it's just it's just a joke that, like, hey, it's a William Shatner weird, like, science fiction thing. But there's also Salman Rushdie's in there. We had Henry Miller's Sexus, I think there's other ones. Oh, there's Hop on Pop. You need Hop on Pop, of course.
Of course.
But Bart, Lisa kind of expresses her fears over the potential of a strike. Lisa doesn't want to miss out on school. Bart is, when he sees the potential there, he enters full-on manipulation mode and eggs on both Edna Krabappel and Principal Skinner.
Skinner said you wouldn't have the wontons to go through with it.
Skinner said that?
Well, I had to clean it up a little. But basically, Krabappel said you'd give the teachers everything they want.
She did?
Yeah. She said you'd fold faster than Superman on laundry day.
We'll see about that. Simpson, I always thought you were sneaky and manipulative. But now I see you're really a very sensitive little boy.
Thank you, sir.
Aww.
Oh, see, you know, Seymour, when we make that aw sound, you know Bart has totally manipulated you.
Yeah, they confront each other again. Bart is hiding in a locker and makes a chicken noise after they, noise, when, you like that, Matt? You like that noise?
Indeed, that was a good noise, that was a good chicken.
That was me. I didn't pull that, that was me.
What?
I know. They are, as they are leaving, they both turn around, hear the noise, and immediately call it, and eventually wrestles the PA away from Skinner and announces to the teachers that they are on strike, and the teachers are quick to react and happily run as quickly as they can away from the school.
Especially Miss Hoover, who is in her car before anyone can even look around.
Yeah, Miss Hoover's in her car, the poor little girl's left on the pommel, the hanging, what are they called? The rings. Gymnast.
I think they're just rings.
That's it. There's nothing. There's no. Pretty sure. Like, but you look at the thing on the ground. It's called a pommel horse.
Right.
But the rings are just rings.
Pretty sure that's what they're called in the Olympics.
Eh. And then we get, I guess the, what's the music teacher's name, Matt?
Mr. Largo.
Mr. Largo apparently hates Pop Goes the Weasel.
He hates lots of wonderful things.
I know he doesn't.
He only likes Sousa.
I guess that's true. Kids get to play fun music. They get to play Pop Goes the Weasel. Even, but Largo does pop his head back in. I guess to criticize them, even though he is technically on strike. But that is where, that's when we go to commercial.
And when we come back, the kids have arrived home and they are plying Marge with their wonderful, wonderful, terrible, terrible news.
Bart, Lisa, what are you two doing home so early?
Great news, Mom! Horrible news, Mom! The school's on strike! Maybe forever. Oh, overload. Pleasure overload. Mwah!
Luckily, I've prepared for this, so I'm not too worried.
Sit up straight. Eyes forward. No talking. Is that gum? Is that gum? Is that gum?
Oh, yeah.
It's funny, because that voice kind of sounds like Miss Hoover, but not, you know, really. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I think maybe Lisa recorded that through her desk.
Of course.
Like, it's Miss Hoover, but it's just at a weird, you know, the audio is distorted just because of some interference.
Right.
That must be it.
Bart is, of course, overjoyed at not having to go to school anymore. We then see Milhouse when he gets home, and his parents have already heard and hired him a tutor, so he doesn't miss anything, to which he is just slightly crestfallen. Kids, of course, all over town are extremely excited and are just going nuts. Bart swings by the nearby construction site and picks up the bullhorn, megaphone, one of those things. I'm not sure what you call it, and starts giving them random directions, like spinning around and knocking down things and dumping sand on porta potties, which leads to a great gag because the foreman comes by, runs him off, and then says in Bart's exact voice, "Can't you tell my voice from a 10-year-old kid?"
And he even says, "I caramba."
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of mayhem. There's a lot of children, Bart especially, mayhem.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Bart's kind of gone crazy. The arcade is overrun with kids. There's a giant line and a bouncer who shakes them to see whether they have enough money to actually come in, which usually you show up with folding money and then get the coins from somewhere else. So that seems a little short-sighted. Maybe things are different in Springfield. We also see Bart being terrible at chess. He is playing four games at once in the park and gets, you know, checkmated very quickly in all four games because Bart is, as we know, not very good at chess. He's good at other things, though.
I'm surprised he knows how to play.
That's true. It doesn't seem like the kind of thing Bart would understand.
Or even want to know.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe he was just randomly moving things and they corrected him each time he did something stupid.
That's probably
true. Seems like the kind of thing Bart would do.
That's possible. That's a possibility. Yeah. I will accept that.
Okay. We then you go back to the Simpsons house where they're eating dinner, and we learn Homer's views on the situation.
Lousy teachers trying to palm off our kids on us.
But Dad, by striking, they're trying to effect a change in management so that they can be happier and more productive.
Lisa, if you don't like your job, you don't strike. You just go in every day and do it really half-assed. That's the American way.
So, there you go.
It is. I mean, that's accurate.
It really is.
That is my personal ethos.
Your preferred method of getting back at your employer
exactly. How dare they give me a paycheck every 2 weeks? How dare they? Those monsters. I'll show them.
They're just the worst.
They are. They're the worst.
Yes, poor Lisa is essentially having a bit of a breakdown. She's losing her perspicacity when she can't name more than two synonyms.
I love that quote, Matt. Love it.
I know. I debated including it, but since I have seven clips that I think some total of more than like 5.5 minutes, I decided to just let that one go.
Gotta kill your darlings. You gotta kill your darlings from time to time.
We do, in order to make this show the best it can be. We then see the teachers at their picket line in front of the school, where they are essentially Krabappel is leading them, giving them news about what's going on, telling them that they're going to win this strike. And then Bart comes up and
bad information, I guess.
He does. He says that Skinner said the teachers will crack any moment. And by the time he gets to the front of the line, well, things have changed a bit.
Now for Operation Strike Make Go Longer. You know, I heard Skinner say the teachers will crack any minute.
Skinner said the teachers will crack any minute. Purple monkey dishwasher.
Well, we'll show him, especially for that purple monkey dishwasher remark.
Oh, games of telephone when you were a kid.
Telephone's still fun. That's the way it always ends
up. It's a great. Now we play with actual telephones. It's a little easier with text messaging, though, I just gotta say. It's not as transformative.
True. Yeah, yeah.
After this, we get a great scene between Skinner and Chalmers, where once again Chalmers is berating Skinner for his treatment of the situation. Outside, you hear cars constantly honking as if they just support the teachers. And then we pan out to Mrs. Krabappel holding a sign that says, "Honk if you love cookies."
Which I don't know. I don't understand why more people like this seems like a very popular, like, just do that. Like, if you're having like a, you know,
if you're trying to fake support, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Everyone loves cookies.
Indeed. If you don't, you're un-American and unhuman.
Okay, Matt. We had a donut. Anyway. We had a donut debate last week, and there's actually people who agreed with you.
Like, of course.
I don't. These monstrous people who like lemon flavored things. What is the best flavor of cookie?
That's really tough. I'm partial to the chocolate chip, although also white chocolate macadamia is very high up there.
Okay.
Why did you think I was gonna say oatmeal raisin?
Hey. Oatmeal raisin are good cookies, all right? They're not the best,
They're good. They're not. They're solidly middle of the pack, I would say.
I think chocolate chip is pretty good, reliable.
That's true.
Although on a certain day, peanut butter cookies, I don't know. Certain days, I could go
it's
for
hard,
peanut butter.
It's hard to get a good peanut butter cookie because some peanut butter cookies are just not good.
Publix cookies, unfortunately. Man. Publix cookies.
I know. They're always reliable.
Hey, guys, who are all those people who don't live in the southeast of America? Publix is a grocery store. They have amazing cookies.
That's true. If you're ever here, stop by a Publix. It's the best grocery store you'll ever go to.
Get cookies and a sub. That's for lunch. Just get some cookies and a Publix sub, and you're good.
That's true. Get one of the big packs, like the 5 dozen pack. Those are the
5 dozen. I don't think they have 5 dozen. I think
they should.
They do 2 dozen, I think, at most.
I think there's a 3 dozen pack. Anyway, moving on from cookies. Bart intends to cause more mischief. He goes to the bank and starts saying in all kinds of crazy voices that the bank is out of money and they only have enough cash for the next 3 customers, which is really misguided because how do they know how much cash the next 3 customers want? Is everyone getting the same amount of money out?
I don't know. It is a reference to It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
Yes.
When there was a bank run in there. And that.
But banks are insured now. There's no problem.
Indeed, it's okay. If the bank runs out of money, the government will back them up because all banks are too big to fail. Up to $10,000 per account. So, you know, just spread it around a little bit. Anyway, once there's been a terrible kerfuffle at the bank, whereas in Superintendent Chalmers punches the guy in the face because, you know, that's what he does. We see Lisa at home, and she's having a tough time of this. She is freaking out even more now.
Grade me. Look at me. Evaluate and rank me. Oh, I'm good, 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 and oh, so smart. Grade me!
That is also what happened at Robbie's house during the summertime.
That was the performance there is really wonderful. Like seeing Lisa and Bart become slowly become unhinged as they without the guidance of school, it's really great.
Indeed, they both go in very odd directions, as we'll see in this next clip, where Homer and Marge discuss essentially what's going on with their kids.
I'm worried about the kids, homie. Lisa's becoming very obsessive. This morning, I caught her trying to dissect her own raincoat.
I know. And this perpetual motion machine she made today is a joke. It just keeps going faster and faster.
And Bart isn't doing very well either. He needs boundaries and structure. There's something about flying a kite at night that's so unwholesome.
Hello, Mother dear.
Oh, that's it. We have to get them back to school.
I'm with you, Marge. Lisa, get in here. In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
I'm really impressed Homer even knows the word thermodynamics. But yes, the machine that Lisa has created cannot actually exist. Like Homer says, it violates the second law of thermodynamics. So you viewers or listeners, I should say, are welcome to try. If you prove it, make sure you get it verified. And hey, you could win lots and lots. Oh, let's just say all the money if you're able to actually prove that.
Well, Lisa just did it, Matt. I saw the machine. It was in Homer's hands.
Indeed, then that can never be unverified.
Yep. I mean, it was on a television show.
An animated television show at that. They can't fake those.
I know. That's all science. Come on.
Anyway, we next see the PTA meeting where the teachers and Principal Skinner and the parents have gotten together to try and come up with something that will break this strike. And Ned Flanders gives the Principal Skinner and Mrs. Krabappel the floor. And essentially it comes down to the teachers want more stuff, better supplies and more money so they can be, like Lisa said, they can be more effective at their job. However, Principal Skinner makes the very good argument that they would have to raise taxes. And of course, nobody in America wants to have more taxes, even if it means, you know, a more prominent public good.
And
they go back and forth.
Okay, we don't need to get into like a fiscal responsibility and politics here, Matt, discussion necessarily, but couldn't they just allocate money from a different thing in Springfield and move it over to...
That's true, although I think they've already done with pretty much every budget. I mean, you saw the potholes from Marge versus the Monorail. They obviously don't have a street repair budget.
You don't need streets.
That's true. Everyone can just walk everywhere.
I mean, it is a small town. You theoretically could use public transportation, even though it is for losers.
That's true. That is accurate. But essentially, the argument goes nowhere. There is basically no common ground, and they can't come up with any solution. So one of the parents in the audience jumps out a window saying that the PTA is disbanded, hence the name of the episode. Ned Flanders basically says that, no, don't worry, it hasn't disbanded. So the guy jumps back in through the broken window and sits back down calmly. And they actually have an emergency solution just in case, which is to replace the teachers with super intelligent cyborgs. So they get right on that, right? Probably that's the episode you saw.
That is the third act is them fighting off the monsters that have taken over the school, these cyborg creatures.
If only that'd be a great episode. But they're not super intelligent cyborgs. So instead they use people from the neighborhood. So we get a wonderful sequence of people from the neighborhood taking over for the teachers, and we'll begin with Jasper.
Talking out of turn, that's a paddling. Looking out the window, that's a paddling. Staring at my sandals, that's a paddling. Paddling the school canoe, ooh, you better believe that's a paddling.
So as you can see, corporal punishment is very, very important to Jasper. We then move on to Professor Frink, who is apparently teaching kindergarten of all things. Not fifth grade, where the smartest kids are. Nope, kindergarten. Where he is trying to explain to them the complex physics of the... Is it a... What's it called? A bubble toy? The thing where you roll it across the floor and the balls bounce?
I don't know, man.
Okay. Yeah, I've never had any idea what
I couldn't think of a name for it. It's like a vacuum cleaner kind of pushing thing or a lawnmower.
Right,
makes
a lot of noise, so kids love it.
But it has colorful bubbles and they pop up and down as you move the thing. I just use the word toy because that's the only thing I could think of to describe it.
That's true, and all the kids care about is wanting to play with it. However, Professor Frink refuses to let them because they would not enjoy it on the same level that he does.
I mean, that's fair. What? He is a much older man. He probably does recognize all the joy better than a kindergartner.
All the cool physics that are going into it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we get perhaps the best scene in the episode is Mo taking roll call.
Okay, when I call your name, you say present or here. Or, no, say present. I need a bath. All right, settle down. I need a bath here. All right, fine. My butt reeks. Hey, what are you laughing at? What? Oh, I get it. It's my big ears, isn't it, kids? Isn't it? Well, children, I can't help that.
So, poor Mo does not last.
I feel so bad for him.
Yeah. Anyway, we then move on to the next substitute teacher, which is Leopold. And he is going to show those snot-nosed kids how to sit down and behave, damn it. Just kidding, it's actually Marge.
Yeah, I think Leopold is used exclusively in these situations anyway to lead us to believe.
To scare the kids into being good.
Then it's just... It's Flanders or it's Marge, but Marge. What happens then, Matt?
Oh, that's the end of the act, probably. That's where you come in.
Oh, well, you got to say, and then we go to commercial.
Uh-huh.
You have to say that. Say it.
And then we go to commercial.
And when we come back, Marge is the teacher of Bart's class. I think she makes it order of business to embarrass him by going up to him and rubbing his cheek and labeling herself as Bart's mommy on the chalkboard. So that's...
what else would you call her?
As someone who has had their mother be their teacher, I can empathize with you, Bart. Yes, it is. My mother was not nearly as bad as Marge was, but still it is awkward at times. Bart has to quickly disable multiple booby traps so that Marge isn't murdered? Like, there's a swinging log trap that would kill her, most likely.
Kids have been doing that since Marge's day.
Of course. Yes, of course. You know, you can't change kids. There's, you know, kids will be kids with their murder devices. Kids,
y'all.
We cut to the dinner table. They're discussing, and Homer asks how their day at school was.
How was everybody's day at school?
Horrifying.
Pointless.
Exhausting. It took the children 40 minutes to locate Canada on the map.
Marge, anyone can miss Canada. All tucked away down there.
Well, my teacher's a nightmare. Three kids got sick from inhaling his ointment fumes. He confiscated everything made of tin. And then he sent us home early because he got his beard caught in the pencil sharpener.
And I really wanted to pull this, but it's mostly just noises. But Jasper and Grandpa... struggling to get Jasper's beard out of the pencil sharpener, and Grandpa's solution is seemingly just keep on turning that pencil sharpener. Just cut it, guys.
Yeah, yep.
That's only what's the only solution.
Sorry, you're not getting your beard out of there unless you take it apart.
I really do like that scene though. And Canada is hard to find. Where's Canada?
I have no idea. It's somewhere around here. I know you're moving there, but I don't know which direction to go to get there.
I know exactly where it is. I learned. Lisa is angry because she won't get into Vassar, even. No Ivy League schools, no Vassar.
Oof, that's rough.
Which Homer is angry that she's at her Vassar bashing. It's a tongue twister. Bart complains to Marge about having to share the school with her, and she refuses to back down. She's going to continue teaching. And Bart gets into the crawl space. I guess because
where else is he gonna go?
I know, and Marge doesn't like that he's in there. I don't know why. What's wrong with that?
She seems really upset that he's in there, and I can't quite figure out why she would care so much. I mean, maybe she's scared he's gonna break something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, maybe let him have his little private space.
Yeah,
kids need privacy. We cut back to school, and Bart is getting bullied relentlessly. He has to try and surreptitiously ask Marge for some money for candy, he says, but all the bullies take it away from him almost immediately. They distract Marge by have Kearney dance. Kearney seems to really enjoy it. So Bart realizes the only way that he is going to get Marge back home and his, I guess, rightful place in the school be reasserted is to get Edna and Principal Skinner to agree on some kind of plan for them to compromise and for them to end the teacher's strike. And he's going to do it with Milhouse.
I can't take this anymore, Milhouse. I gotta get the real teachers back.
Bart, you'll never get Krabappel and Skinner together again. They're like two positively charged ions.
Zuh?
Wait, that's it. With your book smarts and my ability to exploit people with book smarts, we can figure out a clever plan to get them back together.
A surprise party for me in Principal Skinner's office? Well, I don't know, but all right.
Me? Go to my office? It's highly irregular, but all right.
And you're not coming out until you reach an agreement.
And I also, I wanted to pull the thing, but it's also just, it's a lot of banging on a door, which is not necessarily make for a great radio, but they get locked into Principal Skinner's office, and Bart refuses to let them out until they make an agreement, and there's a nice gag about them going to break out, but then they stop for a moment, and then they start again. It's pretty good. They finally do agree to end the strike, a nice compromise, a way for them to get more money, and that is to lock up extra prisoners in the school's cloakrooms.
This was a great way to make extra money, renting out our cloakrooms to the overcrowded prison system.
Yo, I used to sit right over there.
It's all right, children. Just ignore the murderer.
And as a bonus, some of our more troublesome students might be scared straight.
Psst, kid. Help me break out of here. I'll totally make it worth your while.
I'm listening.
And that's how the episode ends.
Yep. Bart helping Snake break out of prison. Because that's probably what will end up happening eventually.
I mean, yeah, we don't see that happen, but probably. I don't know. This episode is very funny. It has some great lines. It just, I don't know, it has one central plot, which is a thing that we like a lot generally, is, you know, there's no real B plot, it's mostly just an A plot. You get a lot of character from the town, you know, you get to see Jasper and Mo and all the, I think Homer doesn't really have much, but, you know.
He has a few lines that make it very memorable.
Yeah, but I don't know, I guess we'll rank it at the end of the show. I don't know what we're going to do with it.
We better do something towards the top, and we're going to have some words, man.
We might have to have words then, Matt.
Uh-oh.
No submissions for this.
Anyway.
For my favorite episode. If you have a favorite episode, simply send it in simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com, explaining why a certain episode is your favorite. And I will read it out loud when we get to that episode. Next up, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is probably will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group. It was active from almost the very beginning of the show. It is archived on Google Groups if you want to look for yourself. I look for stuff that was happening around the time the episode debuted and see what people thought of it, if there's anything else that was cogent. This one's mostly mediocre, but they think it's better than last week's.
Which I'm not 100% sure I agree with, but yeah. It's so funny. They're always met on the ones that are okay or pretty good, and then it's always the good ones and bad ones. Not that we've had really bad ones recently, but the good ones they're very divided on. It's very strange.
Yeah, I would like before I saw everything, I was thinking like they'll probably like it because Bart is very mischievous in it. It's very like early show style Bart.
That's true. Yeah,
but I don't know. There's people giving it D's and F's. Like you can't please everyone. I think that's, but I think they're just at this point the show has gotten like so ingrained in pop culture. I think that, you know, it is a beauty of the show that it can have appeal to so many different people for so many different reasons. But when you have an episode like this, which is mostly like joke heavy and not really character heavy, you know, it's not a super emotional episode. There's going to be people who are, they want that and they don't care as much about this tons of gags, or they want a different type of joke. They don't like the type of joke that was in the episode. Who knows? But not much else. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite animal-related moment? Which, we got tons of great responses. Could not fit them all in. Really appreciate all you guys coming out, answering those questions. Great job. First, we have Samuel at SamRook89. Homer quacking at the SS Antarctica and Simpson Tide and their subsequent disinterested reaction. Martin at Martin Y2J. Curly, straight.
Sorry.
Homer goes, that's from Homer's Goes to College. David at D Levy. This one is easy for me. I know what to do. Jumanji. That always works. Scott at Ryko Lives. R, save me from the wee turtles. They were too quick for me. I can't do it, Willie. Brian at Brinophile. Homer and Stampy both acting like jerks at the animal preserve. Always good. Matt at MattPat11. Homer bringing Santa's little helper home from the track set the tone for the heart of the show. Robert at Barlow2711. When Santa's little helper is working for Mr. Burns, it jumps to attack Bart, and it shows all the flashbacks of them together. Very charming. Very sweet. Alien Beer Dip. Twitter at TY Kidda. Homer, now I've had my head in an elephant, a hippo, and a giant sloth.
I want to know where they're giant sloths.
Museum. John at Petrie JT. My all-time favorite joke in this Simpsons is, Doe, a deer, a female deer. That's also from Bar Gets an Elephant. SMC at Samaretta. Lisa, I thought you loved me. It's my best Lisa the Vegetarian. Did I do okay? Sheep?
I think you did pretty good.
Yeah, it's a lamb, technically.
Yeah, I mean, you got the most important part.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. We have from Abby. The closing credits of Lisa the Vegetarian, where the pig is flying with an apple in its mouth with Maybe I'm Amazed playing in the background. I'm not sure why, but this is so funny to me. Maybe because it's so ridiculous. Caroline, when the Simpson family go to a petting zoo, all of the lamb become cuter each time. Aw. Homer shoves the second cutest lamb in the face when it comes back in a frame. Out of the way, you! Cracks me up every time. Poor lambs. Holly's answer. So many good ones. I'm going to have to go with the dinner scene and Lisa the Vegetarian. Family's eating dinner. Lisa imagines the lamb talking to her. Please, Lisa, I thought you loved me. Loved me. See, I got a second shot. Then Marge offers other things she can make Lisa. And Lisa envisions chicken breasts and rump roast falling off the animals. It culminates with hot dogs, which are made of rat tails, pigeon heads, raccoon feet, and a shoe tongue.
That sounds about right.
You know, those shoe tongues. Those poor animals. We have Izzy's answer. Lisa and Marge go to a baby seal beach to help clean off baby seals, only to find out the animals have all been reserved for celebrities. Rainier Wolfassel cleaning 104 pounds of sandpipers, while Lisa and Marge get stuck cleaning rocks. Thousands and thousands of rocks. Justin's answer. Mo trying to carry a killer whale back to SeaWorld. Who would have thought a whale would be so heavy? The whale voice cracks me up every time. Matt, give me your best whale voice.
Oh, God. What am I supposed to say in a whale voice?
I think he just makes a noise. I don't think he's actually saying anything.
Oh, yeah, it's let me see if I can do this correctly.
It's not bad. Robbie, what comes to mind when Bart's only way out is through door 7, all other exits contain man-eating tigers? Rocky 5 plus Rocky 2 equals Rocky 7, Adrian's Revenge. No, that is a movie I'd watch.
Rocky of all.
Yes, everyone's favorite. And, I mean, we've gotten to Rocky 7, theoretically.
That's true, we have now.
Yeah, and finally from Upcar, it was the best of times. It was the blurst of times. You stupid monkey! I knew there'd be monkeys. Everyone loves monkeys.
There always was. People love monkeys. They're wrong, but they love them.
Monkeys have their charm. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm gonna have to go with, if no one saves the turtles, who will? Ah, save me from the wee turtles. They were too quick for me.
There, your Willy's better than mine. My answer is also from Lisa Vegetarian, also about the pig. But it is the moment when Lisa pushes the pig with the tractor and Bart and Homer's dialogue. It's just a little dirty. It's still good. It's just a little slimy. It's still good. It's just a little airborne. It's still good. It's gone. I know. Oh. Can't wait for Lisa the Vegetarian. Next week's question, what is your favorite moment from Springfield Elementary?
Ooh, that's going to be tough.
There's a lot of it. I'm going to have to think about it. I'll post this question on all of our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. Again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Links to all those places are on our website, SimpsonsShow.com. If need, just simple click. Matt, it is time once again for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each try and challenge each other with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, and one hard. We have a wager for this season, season 6. The host that does not win has to mow the other's lawn and their wife's Sunday best. I am currently down 22 points with, I believe, 4 episodes to go. Not looking good for me.
You can totally do it, Robbie. I believe in you.
Unless you're going to award me just like dozens of bonus points, don't. I am hesitant to be confident.
That is probably a good reason to be hesitant.
Yeah, exactly. Matt, I'm going to give you an easy question. Are you ready for an easy question?
I'm ready for an easy question.
These are all from one episode from Duffless.
Oh, yes.
I wrote about Duffless for our Patreon this past week. Your easy question, what must you do to defeat the spider's curse?
Simply quote a Bible verse.
That is correct. Thou shalt not. Throw a rock. All right. Well, what is my easy question?
Your easy question, sir. Which beetle does Lisa meet on top of the Quickie Mart in Lisa the Vegetarian?
That'd be Paul McCartney.
You are correct, sir.
Yay. I got a point.
Woo. One whole point.
Yeah. Your medium question, Matt. What invention does Bart create in his dream science fair?
I believe it is the go-go ray.
That is correct.
Make you dance. All right, your medium question. What is the first aircraft Sideshow Bob steals in Sideshow Bob's Last Gleaming?
The first craft is...
He tries to steal one, and then it fails him. Then he steals another.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the order. Like, he has... I know, okay, so... He has, like, an old-timey plane. But I forget if that's the thing. Does he try and steal a jet at first, but then it breaks? Wow. Why are people's engines so loud?
I was about to say, why is there somebody drag racing out in front of your house?
Sounds like it. Like an F-16?
Yeah.
Is that the answer?
Is that your final answer?
Sure. Why not?
No, I'm sorry. It's the Harrier jump jet.
Oh, right. The one that
the British-made Harrier jump jet. Pride of the American Air Force.
I knew it was like a modern... Something yeah. modern. Okay, your hard question, Matt, and it is hard.
Uh-oh.
Name at the actual science fair, near the end of the episode, name every student we see and each of their exhibits.
Okay. There is Lisa's, which is my brother smarter than a hamster? There is Bart's, which is can hamsters fly planes, which is simply a hamster in a cute uniform in a plane. There is Nelson's, wasting squirrels with BB guns. There is, what else is there? Science fair. I know there's more. I'm pretty sure there's a volcano in there somewhere. There's Martin, as Phineas Fogg in like 80 Days Around the World, which Nelson shoots with his BB gun. And that's all I got. That's all I can remember.
You got 4 of 7.
Of 7. Ouch.
There is, Milhouse is How Gravity Works, and he has
Behold Gravity in All Its Glory.
Yeah,
yes.
he has a slinky. There's a character named Chuck with the volcano, who his father has done all the work on. There is The Journeys of Phineas Fogg from Martin. There's Wasted Girls with BB Guns from Nelson. Ralph has an alcohol-fueled car.
Oh, that's right, because Homer's like, one for you, one for me.
Yes, and Lisa is my brother dumber than a hamster, not smarter. And then Bart is Miracle of Science, can't hamsters fly planes. Which
they can,
obviously.
Indeed they can.
Okay, Matt, give me my hard question.
All right, your hard question, which is kind of hard. It's not super hard. In The Day the Violence Died, what was the name of the mascot that infringed on an Itchy and Scratchy character and brought Itchy and Scratchy Studios back into the black?
The name of the original character or the name of the character that infringes on that original character?
The name of the character that infringes on that character.
Okay. It is the U.S. Postal Service. It's like a mailman, like Postman Pete?
Is that your final answer?
I guess so.
I'm sorry, it is Mr. Zip, and the character he infringed on was Manic Mailman.
Manic Mailman, Mr. Zip?
Yeah, the Postal Service's Mr. Zip infringed on Manic Mailman.
Was Mr. Zip a real thing?
I have no idea, to be honest. Let's check the Googles.
Mr. Zip, Mail, U.S. Postal Service.
Yes, yes, it was.
Yep, that's a dude. Hey, Matt, use your zip code.
Nah. No. Oh. I hate zip codes. They're terrible.
Zip codes are useful.
I know.
I am further behind than I was before. I'm going the wrong direction.
Aw.
Matt is leaning 88 to 64. That is bad, but at this point, I'm already down 20 points. It doesn't matter. Matt,
it's just funny.
I have some bonus questions for you.
Yay, bonus questions.
These are from John. They are itchy and scratchy themed, rapid fire. I want answers quick.
Okay.
One, who runs Itchy and Scratchy Studios?
Roger Meyer Jr.
Correct. After Marge and Snuh, when they're fighting against Itchy and Scratchy, the show is formatted very differently. What has been removed from the show?
Violence.
Correct. What Disney parody was the name of the musical feature film Roger Meyer Sr. directed starring Itchy and Scratchy?
Scratchtasia.
Correct. What did Chester J. Lampwick create?
He created Itchy the Happy Mouse.
Correct.
The concept of cartoon violence.
I just have Itchy. What was Poochie's final line of dialogue?
I have to go now. My planet needs me.
Correct. Where does the Itchy and Scratchy cartoon Bart and Lisa Wright take place?
Barbershop.
Correct. When Itchy and Scratchy leave for the Gabbo show, they are replaced by Worker and Parasite, the favorite cat and mouse duo from what region?
I believe the Ukraine.
Eastern Europe. In the episode Field of Scream, Scratchy and his son are playing catch before being killed by Itchy and his son. How does the episode end?
They are playing catch with Scratchy's head.
Correct. What was the name of the 1938 controversial Itchy and Scratchy episode directed by Roger Meyer Sr.?
Nazi supermen are our superior.
That is correct. And finally, number 10, in the opening scene of the Simpsons movie, Itchy leaves Scratchy alive but crippled on the surface of the moon. How does Scratchy eventually die?
All right, it's rapid fire. I don't got this one.
A mouthful of missiles.
That's right.
So 8 out of 10, Matt. It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a solid B minus.
Shucks. I'll have to work harder next time.
That's all we're aiming for here. It's a solid B minus.
Hmm.
But yeah, if you guys have any trivia or theme like to send in, I can try and use it in the show. Any of the aforementioned social media places, good place to reach us. All right, Matt, it is time for formal complaints.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
We have a you're going to laugh every time, aren't you, Matt?
Yes, I am, because I love that quote.
Okay. I mean, it is pretty good. We have from Ryan some formal complaints. I don't know. I'll acknowledge them. I mean, though I disagree. He says 101 Dalmatians did actually have 101 Dalmatians in it. Perdita gives birth to only 15 puppies. Cruella de Vil has acquired 84 other Dalmatian puppies elsewhere. 99 puppies plus Pongo and Perdita equals 101.
Ah.
I mean, that is accurate. You're technically correct, the best kind of correct. But I don't really like 101 Dalmatians that much. Not nearly. It's like kind of in the middle of my Disney movies. I never watched it that much as a child. And I think that's cheating, adding in just random puppies. I think the title kind of cheats. He also says, I had a question to you about Kang and Kodos and their first canon appearance, and it was in The Man Who Was Dinner, or whatever the name of that terrible episode is. But he says they first actually appeared in Gump Roast as their non-trios appearance. Gump Roast, he says, is a clip show, so I may write it off. And that is entirely accurate. It is a clip show. Clip shows are not canon. They might as well
indeed
be Trios of Horror.
If so, the 138th episode spectacular will be really weird.
Yeah, exactly. You can't. I understand that things happen in them, but sometimes their frame narratives have been hit or miss. But I generally, there's a reason we don't do them. There's not much of substance in them.
Yeah.
That's it. Finally, Matt, it's time for our final segment. Segment we went every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show, Matt. I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. So, Matt, you're talking about putting this thing high? What does that mean?
Okay, when I say high, what I'm really meaning is something along the lines of top 50.
I think
I'm thinking about it, and I'm trying to compare it to Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, that's top half basically at this point.
Yeah, that's true. We did the Jurassic Horror is out, so yeah, top half easily. I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm trying to think if it's better or worse than last week's, and I think last week's had a little bit of heart, a little bit of funny. I think the pure raw amount of humor in this is better than last week's 2001 Greyhounds.
I think you're wrong.
Oh, really? Where would you put this one?
I have three words for you, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
See my vest.
Oh, I forgot, of course. Crap.
There is
you're right.
You're going to put this, the episode with maybe the one of the best song parodies The Simpsons have ever done, and you're going to...
Okay, look at how many clips I was able to pull from this episode, all right?
I understand. It is funny. I'm just saying there's, you know, it doesn't have much depth.
No, that's true. It's just, it's such a great character study on Bart and Lisa, and it's funny in every possible way. I don't know. I think it's really good.
I would compare, I mean, I think on our list right now, in that same neighborhood, like Homie the Clown.
That's exactly the one I was looking at.
Or Homer the Vigilante, even. I think they're both similar. I think Homer the Vigilante is. I think Homer the Vigilante is even closer to this one than Homie the Clown. It has a lot of townspeople in it. It is very madcap and full of just like weird but really funny writing.
That's definitely true. And I mean, when I think about the humor in this episode, it's not even as good as Bart versus Australia, which is number 14. It's way above this one. But you're right. It's just very, very quotable. So I'm definitely looking around 34, 35, like you said, Homer the Vigilante, Homer the Clown. I honestly think it's definitely better than Homer the Vigilante. Homer the Clown, I'm not 100% on.
I would put it above Homer the Clown, I think.
Yeah.
But not above Lisa the Great.
It's just tough because I really enjoy Krusty and Homer the Clown. But this episode has, like I said, so much quotable humor in it. And like, this is one of the few episodes where I literally just stopped and watched the episode because I could not stop laughing.
That is number 34 on our list, right behind Lisa the Greek, right above Homie the Clown. Number one, still Cape Fear. Last place, 117, Homer's Odyssey.
Oh, yeah.
It will be splendid at 1 point. Matt, what is our next episode?
Let's check my special list, a.k.a. Wikipedia. Next up is Round Springfield. Oh, my God. Honestly, the whole rest of this season is amazing. You guys do not want to miss these upcoming episodes. We've got Round Springfield. We've got the Springfield Connection, where Marge joins the police. Lemon of Troy, which is one of my favorite episodes of all time. And Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 1. So seriously, don't go anywhere.
Yes, I concur. You can find this list at our website, simply thesimpsonsshow.com. Can find, let's see, this list broken down by season. And overall, with Trials of Heart segments broken out individually, we also have, obviously, links to new episodes, downloadable and streaming, and all our back catalog, links to our Facebook, our Twitter, our RSS feed, and to our Patreon. If you think the show's worth a dollar or two, we'd appreciate your support. Let's see. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Please also check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media unless a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. This week I have decided that I'm just going to succumb to the elements and melt into a puddle. So if you're one of those people that's still shooting off fireworks last night, 2 days after the 4th, feel free to spell out in Morse code because I'll be outside as a puddle to figure it out.
I mean, there was a tweet going around that said the people who fire off fireworks on July 2nd are the people who have a favorite Hoobastank song.
Yeah.
100% correct. Also accurate for the people who fire fireworks after 4th of July. 4th of July was on a Monday. If you're firing off fireworks on a random Tuesday, on a Tuesday after 4th of July.
Or a Wednesday, as some people around here did.
Or, even more baffling, fireworks, okay, please don't. Some of us have pets that do not like explosions. Or people who don't like explosions, honestly. with that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.